3,000 years ago, in the vast deserts of Arabia, a remarkable experiment began, not in conquest or empire building, but in language. While other civilizations defined themselves by borders, bloodlines, or gods, one people chose words as their foundation. This wasn't a conscious decision made in some ancient council chamber. Rather, it emerged organically from scattered tribes who discovered that shared eloquence could create bonds stronger than any fortress wall. The Arabic language became a living homeland, a territory that couldn't be conquered by invading armies because it existed in memory, breath, and verse. Today, a Moroccan and an Iraqi may struggle to understand each other's street conversations, yet both can read 7th century poetry with surprising ease. This linguistic continuity across 13 centuries and thousands of miles represents something unprecedented in human history, a civilization that lives not in a place, but in a language. Two brothers, same parents, opposite destinies. One builds walls in an oasis town, plants date palms, watches seasons from the same window. The other follows rains on camelback, sleeping under different stars, owning only what he can carry. This split, Badawa versus Hadara, nomad versus settler, has defined Arab identity for three millennia. Nomads developed asabiyya, intense group solidarity forged through shared hardship. They valued mobility, martial prowess, and genealogical purity, memorizing 15 generations of lineage. Settlers built institutions, accumulated knowledge, created hierarchies. The tension created symbiosis. Towns needed nomads for protection and transport. Nomads needed towns for goods and markets. The camel's domestication 3,000 years ago revolutionized this balance. Vast deserts became accessible. Camel-mounted raiders struck settled areas with devastating speed, vanishing into wastelands where pursuit meant death. The ghazwa, ritualized raiding, became institutionalized, celebrated in poetry as tribal honor. Muhammad's genius redirected this raiding energy outward. Instead of Arabs fighting Arabs, Islam channeled Bedouin prowess toward Byzantine and Persian territories. Yet the tension persisted. Modern Arab states still struggle with tribal versus national identity. When institutions weaken, tribal connections reassert themselves, visible in post-2003 Iraq and throughout the Arab Spring's aftermath. Arab history resembles an hourglass, perpetually turning. Unity emerges, fragments, then reconstitutes, a cycle spanning three millennia. A charismatic leader unites fragmented groups through religious appeal, military success, and rhetorical brilliance, releasing tremendous energy that produces rapid expansion and cultural flowering. Then internal contradictions surface, fracturing the whole along tribal, regional, or ideological fault lines. The pre-Islamic Kindah Confederation illustrates this pattern. Around 500 CE, King Al-Harith briefly united northern Arabian tribes. His death triggered immediate disintegration as his five sons fought each other. His grandson, the poet prince Imru al-Qais, spent his life attempting restoration, dying disappointed. Muhammad achieved something unprecedented, the Ummah, a community bound by faith rather than blood. This super asabiyya transcended tribal divisions, enabling explosive conquests that within a century controlled territory larger than Rome at its height. Yet even this unity proved fragile. The succession dispute between Ali and Muawiyah reopened tribal divisions, triggering civil war at Siffin in 657 CE that killed between 70,000 and 110,000 people. Subsequent dynasties repeated the pattern. The Umayyads favored their Quraishi clan, breeding resentment. The Abbasids initially united Arabs and non-Arabs, but eventually fragmented. By the 10th century, three separate caliphates claimed authority. Modern history mirrors ancient cycles. Nasser briefly united Arabs through pan-Arab rhetoric, but the United Arab Republic with Syria collapsed after 3 years. The Arab Spring of 2011 demonstrated both unity's potential and fragmentation's inevitability. The chant Al-Shab Yurid Eskat al-Nizam echoed from Tunisia to Syria, then each revolution diverged. Success in Tunisia, chaos in Libya, civil war in Syria, renewed authoritarianism in Egypt. Who are Arabs? For three millennia, outsiders answered this question. Assyrian records from 853 BCE mention Gindibu and his 1,000 camels. Biblical texts describe Arabs as desert dwellers. Roman and Persian empires established client kingdoms, Ghassanids serving Byzantium, Lakhmids serving Persia. These external definitions forged shared identity among diverse peoples who otherwise recognized little in common. Islamic conquests transformed Arabs from peripheral raiders to imperial rulers. The Umayyad Caliphate maintained Arab supremacy while adopting Byzantine administration and Persian court customs. Yet, as the empire expanded, Arabs became invisible, dissolved by their own empire like salt in seawater. The Mongol invasion of 1258 and Ottoman rule reduced Arabs to provincial subjects. For centuries, Arabs identified as Muslims, Christians, or Jews, as people of specific cities, but not as a unified nation. European imperialism paradoxically revived Arab identity through opposition. Napoleon's 1798 invasion sparked the Arab awakening. British and French colonial rule imposed artificial borders but created shared resistance. Israel's establishment in 1948 provided a focal point for unity defined by opposition. While political power shifted, Arabic culture maintained continuity through language, literature, and shared memory. The challenge today is moving beyond reactive identity, reclaiming complex heritage that existed before colonialism. Islam transformed Arab society while maintaining cultural continuity. Muhammad created the Ummah, a super tribe unified by faith rather than blood, and elevated Allah from supreme deity to sole god, drawing on Arabic rhetorical traditions while revolutionizing their message. Within a century, Arab forces controlled territory from Spain to Central Asia, surpassing Rome's peak. Islamic governance attracted religious minorities through tolerance, with most subjects converting gradually over centuries. As the empire expanded, Islam evolved from Arab religion to universal faith. The Umayyads maintained Arab supremacy, but the Abbasid Revolution established inclusive governance, where submission to God superseded tribal ancestry. The 1258 Mongol invasion destroyed Baghdad and ended the Abbasid Caliphate, delivering profound psychological trauma. Without symbolic leadership for the first time since Muhammad, cultural conservatism emerged defensively. Modern political Islam responds to and rejects Arab nationalism, seeking return to imagined purity. Today, Arabic remains central. The Quran must be recited in Arabic, and prayers performed in Arabic regardless of native tongue. This linguistic foundation ensures that even as Islam has become global, its Arabian origins remain essential. The Arab Spring of 2011 promised transformation. Protesters from Tunisia to Syria demanded dignity. Al-Shab Yurid Eskat al-Nizam. The people demand the fall of the regime. Then familiar patterns returned. Tunisia achieved fragile democracy. Egypt cycled through revolution and renewed authoritarianism. Libya, Syria, and Yemen descended into civil wars. Today's Arab world faces layered challenges. Authoritarian regimes wield sophisticated surveillance. Religious extremism exploits grievances. Foreign powers intervene with competing agendas. Economic disparities between Gulf states and impoverished neighbors breed resentment. Water scarcity threatens environmental catastrophe. The Palestinian conflict persists, Gaza besieged, and the West Bank fragmented. Yet resilience emerges. Tunisia's troubled democracy proves Arabs can build accountable governance. Cultural production flourishes despite censorship. Digital connectivity creates new expression spaces, though regimes weaponize social media. Most importantly, young Arabs question inherited narratives, demanding honest reckoning with their complex past. The path forward requires confronting uncomfortable truths. Arab history includes devastating inter-Arab conflicts, not just resistance to external enemies. Linguistic unity masks profound differences in dialect, religion, and worldview. Nostalgia for golden ages obscures that medieval empires were built partly on slavery and conquest. While blaming external forces contains truth, it enables avoidance of necessary self-examination. As one observer noted, while physical Arab lands have been reclaimed from occupying empires, the Arab past remains under occupation from within by power wielders who exploit it to control the present. New generations must liberate this past with open eyes, embracing medieval Baghdad's cosmopolitanism alongside the tribalism that fragmented empires, early Abbasid intellectual openness alongside later conservatism. The Arab story is ultimately about the power and limits of words. For three millennia, Arabic has created a civilization transcending borders, empires, and religious divisions. It has preserved memory across centuries of fragmentation, enabling a Yemeni and Syrian to share thousand-year-old poetry. Yet this linguistic unity never translated into lasting political unity. Perhaps the lesson isn't that Arabs must finally achieve elusive political unity. Perhaps their genius lies elsewhere, in adaptability that absorbed Persian, Greek, Turkish, and European influences while maintaining distinctive character. In linguistic creativity, keeping Arabic vibrant across 13 centuries. In resilience, surviving Mongol devastation, Ottoman marginalization, and European colonization. Today's challenge isn't recreating some imagined golden age, but drawing on rich, complex heritage to build societies honoring both tradition and change, unity and diversity, the sacred and secular. That work remains unfinished, the story still being written.